Praise the Lord. Well, open your Bibles to Proverbs 16:15. I want to talk to you about favor today. I'll talk to you about favor. I want to talk to you about favor up close. Because we've been talking about Wednesday night, we talked about living in a heavier presence and how we were stewarding living in a heavier presence. We talked about where you are prophetically in this time, that you're living in this world for, quote, such a time as this. And so if we're living in that time, then we don't want to waste a minute. We want to have everything God has for us, do everything God wants us to do. So which means that we don't have any time for toil and we don't have any time for worry. Amen. That's right. We have to trust and go, church.
That's right.
And I think I just got partnership afresh all over again of how I don't have to figure it out. I just have to do what he says. The direction's already there. Just have to be keen to his guidance. Amen. So we need to talk about favor. I want to bring back some thoughts, even some new ones, so that we can get down the road faster. Proverbs 16:15 says, in light of the king's face is life, and his favor is like a cloud of the latter rain. I'm going to read it again. In the light of the king's face is life, and his favor is like a cloud of the latter rain. You know, when rain falls right before a harvest, and let's just say it's corn, then it revives the corn. If it hadn't had a little rain, it'll revive it, and it'll plump it up. You know, you want that juicy corn. You don't want that, you know, those of you that eat corn. I just have to tell you, I am a fifth-generation Texan. But I did live in up north. Michigan corn is way better than Texas corn. It's just plumped up. I have to tell you, it's good. And Debbie would argue that Kansas corn is the best, probably. But I'm telling you, but here's the thing. God wants you to have a plump, sweet harvest. He doesn't want you to just, well, yeah, I sowed that seed to, you know, Aliyah, whatever you, however you pronounce it. I sowed a seed for this and I kind of, you know, you're not even recognizing maybe, but it's time for you to recognize a sweet, plump harvest in your life. And we are right here. And I just want you to know all the prayers you prayed, all the time you've stood, you're about to see America have a sweet, plump harvest. It's going to happen. All the financial seed you sowed, it's time. Amen. It's time. October is always a good time for us. We always have an extra harvest, some kind of windfall. We probably have that because we confess it. Amen. I'm always saying, oh, boy, October's here. It'll be a really good month. Seems like March and October, there's just an influx of finances in the church and even for myself, it seems that way. And so I just declare that over you as well. You have one more day if you haven't gotten it yet. So, all right. So the way that God's going to do this is his favor. And so not to get your faith out for the favor, to not steward the favor, is just going to get you crop that is lacking. Favor is just a big part of life, church. It's a big part of your spiritual life. And we really need to get a hold of it. It's not just a word of faith thing. It's a Bible thing. And so the thing about favor is that it's directly, listen to me, it's directly related to the presence of God. And God is looking, get that. He looks upon us with favor. And when we look back, then favor is actually released. So then we would say that we're on a quest to look into the face of God, to see the face of God. And you say, well, no man's seen God's face. Well, let me just give you two scriptures of two guys that did. Genesis 32:30 says, Jacob called the name of the place, Peniel, That's right next door to Jessie. She lives right next door to the face of God. For I have seen God face to face, and my life is preserved. And then Exodus 33:11, so the Lord spoke to Moses face to face as a man who speaks to his, and you need to circle that, friend. He speaks to it. You know, friends get face to face. So both Jacob and Moses then had great favor with God. They were friends of God, and we've talked about that a lot here. That's the position you want to take with God. You don't want to just be his kid. You want to be his friend. You know, when your babies are little, you're their parent. You're not their friend. Yes. Amen. Quit trying to be. If you got little kids or teenagers, they're sorry, teenagers, but we're not looking for friendship. We're looking to be their parents. But one day, Toby got old enough that he became my brother in the Lord. He became my friend. And so life changes like that. Now you're in a position where you can be child with God, but you're growing up. You can be friend. You don't have to be someone that stands far away. Friend is a big word to God, because in John 15, it says that to his friends, he told things to.
Right.
Jesus will tell you anything. That's why he doesn't know when he's coming. Father has to hold that, because if Jesus knew, he'd tell us. Said he would. The Holy Ghost will speak. Let me remind you of something. God is a checker player. He always makes the first move. And he'll show someone favor, and you'll just see the favor come on in their life, or maybe it's you. And then he expects them to draw closer, to look back, and then more favor will come. And then they do something, and it's like a checker. This is how he does every kind of anointing, everything. It's all about having we'll just call it the checker game. He expects them to seek more, and then he'll pour out more. So what we could say here is that the quest for the face of God is what we're after, and that there's two central dimensions concerning this, and it is his presence and his favor. So you can't separate those. You tend to favor those that are the closest to you. That's a no-brainer. And sometimes you'll favor some people, and if they don't seek you out, that favor kind of falls off, right? Has that happened to you?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Praise the Lord. Two people think so. We'll preach this 95 times and then you'll get it. I'm kidding. You know, you might just be thinking, well, Pastor, you just love this stuff. You just love this stuff, and this is what you want to talk about. This is what you're geared for. And, you know, I'm just not all that much into it. I don't know about favor. I don't know that much. And, well, church, let me tell you something that'll go across all lines here. This is something you need to really think about. Here's your 6-second soundbite. Sometimes you have to watch somebody love something before you can love it yourself. Sometimes you have to watch somebody love something before you can love it yourself. But one thing is for sure, you're going to miss out on all the good stuff without a quest for the presence and the favor of God. What is favor? It's preferential treatment. It denotes acceptance, approval, pleasure. It's a gift. We would say that it's being in someone's good graces. You're in God's good graces when he shows you favor. And you have access to that person, and you receive from them. Some years ago, my pastor, he'd been my pastor for a while, worked for him, with him, and served in his church. He took a job at a Bible college, and he actually was the head over a network of pastors, ministers, In fact, it was called Network. And when he took this job at the Bible College, he put another man in charge of the network. Remember Dr. Carmen? He put another man, a sweet man of God, good man of God, in charge of the network. But Pastor kept 8 of his leaders, 8 pastors. The rest of them, and there were many. That place was crowded when we would have a network meeting. Pastors, leaders from all over. But he kept 8, and I was one of the 8. And so I had favor. And I had access. And so we lived our lives having access to someone who favored us. When we would go to preach, and he had a lot of churches and stuff, but when we would go and preach in his churches, we stayed in their home. When we would go to their town, we stayed in their home. We each had a room in their home. They were nice too. And we had access to him because he made sure that the next morning, when we'd get there in the evenings a lot of time, the next morning he'd be waiting there on the couch with his coffee. And one time I was late getting in there. I'm running in there to sit down and be with him. And he says, "I'm going to have to dock your pay." He was so funny. He's always saying cute stuff. But he would just sit there and pour into us. I had access to him. He would just pour into us. And so we lived life together. We lived together. We did life together. Now, we were miles apart, but we made it a point to go to him, to be with him. We just made it a point so we could. Now, for a time, we lived in the same town, and we were together all the time. But then as time moved on, but we did life together. So we had access. We had favor, which opened up for me to become a prophet for a lot of people. A lot of people that you don't even know. We get phone calls from people that you guys have never met. You don't know. We have some church leaders that look to us somewhat for some leadership, stuff like that. But it opened the door to push our ministry out further because we had access. We had favor. Do you see what I'm telling you? And so it's a good thing to have access. Now, what I'm talking about with you is access to God. Favor with God. I was given access and I was given power. I had decision-making power. And he trusted me with that. So favor gives you that access, but within that, it gives you power. And you may not realize this. I don't know if you realize this or not, but God loves everyone the same. Did y'all know that? Except he loves me a little more. But no. He loves everyone the same. But not everyone has the same measure of favor. And that could kind of make a person mad if you think about it. You're like, well, what's up with them? It's like God just opens every door for them. Well, I just want to show you how God will open up every door for you. Because he's not a respecter of persons. That's not why it's happening. It's not because Danny is cuter than other people, although she's pretty cute. It's not because Gabe's so good looking that he gets favor and he's, yeah, well. But it's because of what they'll seek, right? Yeah. And so let me talk about that a little bit deeper here. So, what we've learned, and I hope you've learned this, watch someone who has what you want. Dr. Savelle has more favor than any person I've ever seen on this earth. Now, this could be your thought. Well, you know, every time we go to the meetings, he tells us the same stories of all the favor that he has and how he did this and did that and he went here and this happened and someone gave him a Corvette and he gave all of his motorcycles away and they all came back and he got into here and he got into there and you're just like, it's the same stories. Yes. Well, he has new ones. That's for you. That's for you. That's for you to hear over and over, like when you were a kid, tell me the story about when Papa did so-and-so. Tell me the story. Because that is reminding you, as a seeker of the face of God, exactly what you can have, how much you can have. You can get way out there with God.
Amen.
But listen, you looking for land? Pay attention to Brother Savell. Land would come to him. He'd keep it and sell it for all kinds of money later. Same thing with many of the others. Amen. Are y'all here? People are like, why does Brother Copeland keep singing to Gloria in every meeting? What's the song, "You're the Best Thing That Ever Happened to Me"? I heard it last night. People are like, why is he doing that? That's for you. That's for you, boys. That's about loving your wife. That's what he's doing. Still, it's, and it's talking about how two people met, got together, fell in love, and changed the world. Because they've changed the world. It's like, well, I don't know if they've changed. That's because you haven't paid attention. There are things that have happened all over the world. You don't even know half the things that happen because those two got together and started serving God. One thing, you're sitting in one of the reasons why right now. This wouldn't be here had that not happened. Okay, I'll get back on my message. I just want you to realize what's going on. Look around. Look a little deeper in your life. Don't just be, the earth is flat here. Okay, don't go there. You see what I'm saying? Get a little bit more dimension and realize what's going on when people are saying things to you. Sometimes people will say something and people are just don't even get it. And then a group of people will walk away and go, did you hear that? Did you hear what was just said right then? And other people go, oh, that was good. But other people go away, I heard that. I heard that. You're welcome. The Lord just gave me a little bump. All right. So favor gives you access. It gives you power. Now, Brother Jerry's commission then is to help feed you on that. Anyway, he has great favor. So I want to show you how to increase yours. As I said, God loves every person, but favor's not measured out the same. Yet, everyone is positioned to increase in favor. You can actually have it. So you're not off the charts because, you know, maybe God doesn't, you don't feel like God likes you as much. No, God loves you. He may not like you. If you're a grouchy old complainer, now he loves you. But he loves you. He loves you. And you are positioned to increase in favor right now. Here's what you have to do. You just have to steward what you have. Okay? The same with gifts. The gifts of the Spirit, any kind of gift that God, it's God's favor is like that too. It's given to you freely, with no strings attached, but it also comes with a purpose. Favor has a purpose. The thing is not everybody uses their favor for the intended purpose. So favor is given to us to empower us to serve the kingdom of God, to serve effectively. If you have more favor, you can be more effective. You'll see that in a minute. It feels good to have favor, but it's really, favor is not about calling attention to you. It's about calling attention to God and his kingdom. That's what it's for. So it's about you being effective in your life. And when you get doors to open because of the favor on your life, when rules change because the favor on your life, things can be really good and the kingdom of God can move all the way through. I noticed something. I took a little favor barometer. The staff was meeting out at the end of the parking lot on Thursday. And we, the city inspector was out there because our water meter, when our water meter goes over $75, the city calls us, and it had hit $100. And so they came out and turned the water off, and they found a water leak. Well, the city inspector was here, and so we were talking to him and another guy, that real nice guys. And so, long story short, the people who work at the city decided it was on our side. But I noticed something that Mr. Pound, he got to talking to us, and he said, now this is what I want you to do. If you'll call, da-da-da-da-da, and then he went, you know what, never mind. He called him himself. He started getting on our side himself. And so we found favor with him in our presence. Now, it didn't go all the way through like we wanted to, but it was pretty good. So there's my barometer. I want it to go all the way through, so we're going to steward our favor and increase our favor. But anyway, John fixed it, and Danny did her part. And thank you, John, your blessing. So you were able to use the restroom this morning. But did you see that? Well, never mind. Let me do it. Let me do it for you. Let me push this. Let me try to push this through for you. That's the favor of God. So I appreciate that. Even if they didn't run out and fix it for us, that man tried. Amen. So when people use, I want you to get this now. When people use the favor of God for personal gain, they've chosen where they're going to level off in their development and experience. If it's just, you know, well, I want favor because I need it for my business. I need more money, or I need favor for my kids to do this or that. And it just ends right there if it's for personal gain. That's why you're leveling off. See, you're connected to the kingdom. God gets the glory. I wouldn't even bother to work at a job that you don't consider doing it for God. I mean, not everybody's a preacher, but we have all sorts of people working in here, but you're on assignment and not just trying to make money. You have an assignment to do what you're doing. That should be where you're working. And it should be connected to being effective in the kingdom of God. That sounds like a song. Should be effective, be connected. Okay. I'll have to have Amanda edit that part out. Okay. Thanks, Margaret. I'm working on a country song right now. I'll let you know how it goes. Me and Dee will like it anyway. So favor is actually this useful tool to go through otherwise closed doors. We're sitting in a building because we had favor. Amen. And we're even in this town because we've had favor, in my opinion. So now you know this story, but I'm going to read it to you. This is Matthew 15:14, and I'll start speeding up a little bit here. Matthew 25:14 says, "For the kingdom of heaven is like a man traveling," this is Jesus talking "to a far country, who called his own servants and delivered goods to them. And to one he gave 5 talents, and to another 2, and to another 1, according to his own ability." Now, did you get that? According to his own ability, which means that one guy was really good at stewarding his stuff. The other guy was pretty good at doing his stuff. And the other guy, he wasn't so good, but he was going to get a chance. Okay. You know the story. You can go back and read it. I'll need to clip along here. So 2 guys made a profit. One guy hid the talent, right? So 2 guys got blessed. One guy gets fired. Now, the lazy guy, we'll call him lazy guy. I don't know what else to call him here. He looked at the task and not the master. Okay? Go back and read it. Each one of us is given an opportunity for increase by faithful use of what has been given to us. This is not legalistic works. This is how the kingdom works. You're given something. You operate in a gift. You flow in a talent that God gave you. And it's up to you to bring increase to it. It's up to you to do better at it. Not without the help of God, but by the grace of God and with the favor of God. Well, it's the same with the very favor. It's the same with approaching people. It's the same with all that. You can be one of those three guys. Two of them got blessed back, moved forward into favor. One of them, nothing. Because he was busy looking at how hard it was going to be. And when he saw, listen, do you see that he saw how, y'all know the scriptures, right? How hard it was going to be. But who did he blame? He said the master was hard. Master wasn't hard. And the task wasn't hard. He saw that it was hard. So, my point is in the kingdom of God, faithfulness is the supreme value and is always rewarded. Okay? So take your favor and do something with it. Steward it. Now, there are two aspects of favor are grace. And I mentioned them, access and power. Access and power. So this sets us up to understand what it means to grow in favor with God. And at the heart of favor, now, there are two aspects. One is the pursuit of God, you coming before him, the scripture would say, in a new and living way. You're coming into God's presence. You're pursuing him. The second thing is receiving. And if you're receiving in God's presence, you're receiving a measure of his own nature that will empower you to be conformed to the image of Jesus. So when you're coming to God, you're pursuing him, you're after him, and then in his presence, in his word, in these meetings like this, you're receiving. So both of those things, pursuing and receiving. Now that's not hard for us to think. That's what we do. We go after him. Amen. Now please get this. Considering the fact that it takes favor to get favor, and we've all received some favor at our conversion, the issue of growing in favor is absolutely the issue of stewardship. I had the Lord tell me Wednesday morning, you're not stewarding your favor like I want you to. Well, this is the year of correction. I took it. Okay. So I figure if I'm not, you might not be either. So here we are. We're going to steward our favor. We're going to start talking. We're going to start confessing. I have favor. I'm moving forward in favor. Thank you, Jesus. This is our question. What have we done with the favor that God has given us? I believe this is why we don't see a lot of dreams come true. A lot of things come to pass. This is sober, but it's just reality. Most dreams go unfulfilled because of the lack of favor. If you, what's your dream? Think of it right now. Got it? You got it? What's your dream? Now, if you had two or three people favoring you, would you be in it? Yes. Yeah. You would. If you had some more people favoring you, or if you walked up upon someone and they favored you, yes, I'll say that. Now, listen to me. This is not about all, with God, you're in close proximity, close relationship. With the people who favor you, they might not even like you. But they'll favor you. I can't tell you the times that people have said to us, well, I don't know why, but I'm giving it to y'all. Most of you who have been here for 20 years have heard the preaching about the house where 50 people applied for the house. We got it. That we started a business and a lady went right in front of us to all the daycares and presented the exact same business. No one had ever thought of doing it before. And the Lord gave us the idea, went out to do it. She went to 8 places in front of us. We got all 8 places. That's the favor of God. And none of the, well, I knew one daycare director at the time, because Toby was little. And so when he went to daycare, I went to daycare because I went to work there because he was there. You know the stories. But anyway, it might not be someone that even knows you. I don't know that we always pay attention to that, but we need to. They took what was given to them and they did something with it. They represented the master in his absence. I think we've seen lazy attitude in our commission to imitate Jesus by not doing this. You know, we'd be destroying more of the works of the devil if we'd pick up our favor and do something with it. So I'm just taking that correction myself, and I see you are too. Now this is what I want to get to. Two things. First, faithful stewards don't get hung up on how. How will you fulfill the master's plan? Don't get hung up on how. They trust the master. If he told them to do it, then evidently he thinks they can do it. When he said, we're going over to the other side, we got something to do in the Gadarenes. Remember that? We will go over to the other side. He wasn't mincing words. He already saw they were going to get to the other side. Then a storm comes, right? So the storm's in the middle of the thing and they're like, ah. But they didn't need to be concerned about that. I mean, the master's in the boat. You don't need to be concerned. You just need to do what God tell you to do. Well, I don't know how we're going to do that. I don't see there. Now you're just stopping everything. That how is a lot of trouble for people. Well, I know we're supposed to build this house and it's supposed to be this big, but I don't know how we would do that. You don't have to know how.
That's right.
You're supposed to look at the dream.
Right.
Not the finances.
That's right.
That's good.
Amen.
Yep.
It's quiet in the church. It is something, because if you immediately go get pencil and paper, you understand that I know that you take steps in life. You got to believe for socks before you get your boots. I understand that. I understand that you need a little practice in your faith. You don't come into the faith message and immediately go try to, you know, move to Applehead or your wherever. However, when you start getting down the road and start getting going, you got to learn where to put your focus. If God said to do it, not your plan, but if God gave you a dream and God said to do it, then it's going to be all right. You don't need to know how you're going to do it. I look back, I can't even tell you how we built our house, except that I know that some good people gave us some finances and some, the person helping us build it, he gave us a lot of stuff and it just kept coming in and coming in and coming in until we built our house debt free. But we knew we were supposed to do it. I can't tell you even how we really got here, except I saw the nicest man walk through the door and say, I'm going to fix this for you and you're going to get it. And then people came along and just paid it off.
Yeah.
I'm going to stay in that zone.
Yeah.
Praise the Lord. So it's not about the how. This is the next point I want to get to. You're not a hired servant. You're already ahead of the game. Jesus modeled perfect faithfulness by taking on the form of a servant and perfectly fulfilling the Father's will. He has modeled it for us. He's given it to us. We are his children. He showed us that the best service comes from those who are not actually hired servants. When you're a kid working with Father and it's your business, you do a good job. Amen. That's who you are. You are in this thing. This is God and Sons. In the 90s, we had a band called God and Company. And we'd go all over and we played where you played out, the Wimberley Gospel Festivals and stuff like that. We played out there and Deb was singing back then and I was the drummer. I still have my drums back there. We just played everywhere. God and Company. Had a lot of favor, a lot of blessing. Praise the Lord. And we weren't really Southern Gospel. We were kind of, you know, just Holy Ghost wild people, but they liked us. Amen. I'm going somewhere. So Jesus is, we can imitate Jesus. We can do like he did. Do you remember it said he grew in favor? He grew in favor. So you're going to grow in favor. You're going to steward your favor and grow in favor. How are you going to do it? You're going to pursue God. You're going to access God. You're going to live in the face of God. And here's the big way. This is the simplest way I can put it to help you understand. It's by learning to be God's friend. If you'll learn to be God's friend, favor opens up. And then continue in that friendship, continue in the pursuit of his presence, continue in what you know in him, and continue in that favor.
Amen.
You're like, well, I'm not sure I know what you mean. Well, let me just tell you one thing. Start saying it.
Yes.
I got favor. That's not you being haughty. He gets the glory. I find favor with God and man. Jesus found favor with God and man. I find favor with God and man. Friendship was the purpose of all creation. God made Adam and Eve because he wanted to have someone to love. He puts them in a garden with what? Nothing, and says, work hard and I'll be back later. No, he puts them in a garden that's called voluptuous living. It has everything already in it. He's got it all made up, drops them into it and says, here, take this to the whole universe. But what did the Bible says? He walked with them in the cool of the day. That really says he walked with them in the spirit of the day. He was there with them. Church, when he finished creation and rested, he did not go back to the throne and rest. He stayed with man. All right, we got it done. Come over here and sit down in one of these chairs. We're going to have some iced tea down here. Adam, you sit there, Evie. Get that feeling. Look at all these things. What are you going to name that one? What are you going to name that one? Ooh, what are you going to name that one? Giraffe. What are you going to name that one? Elephant. What are you going to name that one? Oh. Hummingbird. I don't know what their scientific names are, but I don't know who named the mosquito, but talk about that another time. Satan's defeat was to come by the hands of those made in God's image and that worshiped him by choice. That's how Satan was supposed to be defeated. You understand, he was already thrown out. He was in the earth. He's over here. A beautiful place is made that's going to push him and push all the darkness out. Light be came. That was they were going to overthrow him in the early days. Except they listened to him and fell for it. But the captain of our salvation got it back for us. Amen. Psalm 23:5, this is the divine plan. Psalm 23:5 is absolutely the divine plan. You prepare a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. They were right there in that garden, and that sneaky thing was right there in the earth and knew what was going on. But see, you don't have to let the sneaky thing overtake you. You can sit at the table and eat, and he has to watch you. That's the table of fellowship with God. Our relationship with God deepens and overflows into a life in conflict with the power of darkness. You're sitting at the table, it's getting deeper, it's getting better, it's getting better, and the evil one's going, don't be so concerned about him. You have authority. Use that authority. Your biggest battle is in the mind. You got to get on that battlefield and you got to say something.
Yep.
Words fight thoughts. Thoughts don't fight thoughts. Words fight thoughts. And so you have to say some words And I was listening to Pastor Nancy, and she said, you know, sometimes people will say, shut up, devil, get out of here. Well, that's what I do. And she said this, she said, talk back to him with words that counteract.
Yeah, that's right.
Like Jesus did. That's right. It is written, it is written, it is said. Yeah. That's really good. And then you'll start thinking about the right thing. I was listening to her preach on the mind and thoughts and what to do with thoughts. And in a minute, I wasn't listening to her preach. I was thinking about having the wrong thoughts about having the wrong thoughts. And I was like, oh my goodness, stop it. So, sorry, Lord. Got back in there, turned back to rewound it and did it again. Keep practicing. Keep going. Keep going. Keep going. You'll get charge over it. You just got to keep going. And notice the Holy Spirit did stop me finally. You're like, what are you doing? You're listening and you're, it's kind of like this. So you're listening to a word about forgiving people. And as soon as you hear it, you start thinking about the last person you forgave. Is that, yes, you do. Yes, you do. Cause I did. I know you do. And then you go, now wait a minute. I forgave them. Yes, you did. You forgave them. It's not a feeling. Even if you hear the mention of their name and you still get Tabasco sauce coming up your legs, that's just a feeling. The truth is, you forgave them.
That's right.
So talk to that Tabasco sauce and tell it, no, I forgave them. I did it as an act of love and I'm done with it.
Amen.
But you do. As soon as you hear the message, you go back to thinking. And then the devil says this. This is all free, by the way. The devil is saying, see, I told you. You thought about them as soon as Pastor Nancy said something about it. You thought about them. Have you forgiven? Yes, I have.
That's right.
That's how he counterattacks, see? He's going to keep trying to bring it up and bring it up. He doesn't have anything on you. God finds no fault in you. You get off the trail, just run to God. If you do something wrong, run to him, not from him. This is what I'm saying. God's looking for partnership. God is looking for partnership. He empowers partnership. So how do I steward favor? Friendship, partnership. Friendship, partnership. That's how you do it. You get in partnership with him. You got the words, he's got the power. You need to have the words, you need to have the decree, you need to have a, we were talking about a king's decree in the prayer class this morning. You have a king's decree. You're decreeing from the kingdom. You have a king's decree. That's how you have to behave. From my high seat of authority. You're not being haughty. Religious people think that's haughtiness. It's as humble as it can be. We're doing what Jesus told us to do. Doing what the apostle Paul said we needed to wake up to is that we're sitting in a high place of authority and that the church isn't just a religious group. We're the ecclesia. We're a governing force on this earth.
Yeah, we are. Amen.
Partnership. That's been the plan from the beginning. Thank you for it, Jesus. So, just in closing, I know it would be very easy for us to just say that we all have the same favor. But we don't. We have the favor we are trusted with. But this is how you're going to increase your favor. You're just going to increase it by being a friend of God. Talking to God, being personal with God. The song we started out with today, Here I Am. Arms wide open, heart wide open. Couldn't say it any better. You know, I know we bounce around, I am a friend of God. Everybody's singing that, yeah. But are they?
Yeah.
Let's go deeper. How close are you in relationship with someone? Are you, you have any friends, or maybe your husband or your wife, and you'll walk out wearing almost the same clothes. Friends, you know how friends, you know, you'll come. A lot of times, we'll, Deb lives in another side, and then I'll walk out on from my side, and we're eating in the middle right there in the kitchen, and I go, I'll change. It's being close. A lot of times we have the same thing come out of our mouth. Well, I'm going to dress like God. I'm going to say the things he says. I want to hear him whisper and say, yeah, that's it. I want to hear that whisper and he just tell me, do this, do this. Let's do this. Come on, let's move forward. Now, obviously, we'll go prophetically here a little bit. If God is saying, can y'all take it? If God is telling me that I need to pay attention to my favor, that should tell you, you know what's coming. We're about to make a move. There's about to be some things that happen. If he's going, come on, get around on this side of the table. We're going to talk about this. We're going to do this. I want you to steward your favor. That's telling me I'm about to need some favor. About to need some favor. And if it's about me, guess what? It's about you. You just about, now don't go, what, is something bad going to happen? No, we're about to have a victory.
Amen.
Get off that something bad happening. You know why something bad happens? Because you're thinking something bad is going to happen. Stop thinking something bad is going to happen. That's worrying. That's calling meditating on the devil's thoughts. And when you meditate on devil stuff, that happens. When you meditate on God's word, then that happens. So get up every day expecting it to go good. Well, what if it doesn't? Well, change it. Just keep talking till it does. Get that thing out of there. Keep saying something. All the things we just said. Well, you know, my life is Murphy's Law. If it's going to be, see, that's just failure thinking.
It is.
In fact, I wrote the one thing that I need to say to you. Let me read this to you. God actually set up a way so that you are the only one who can make you fail. You are the only one that can make you fail because he's given you everything. And he's offering you more favor. He's offered you the blessing so you could prosper. He's offered you healing if you do get sick. He's offered you all the protection you need. He's offered you his friendship, his fatherhood, his love, his redemption, his care, his glory. He's offered you all these things. And it's a matter of you have a cookie. It's a matter of you doing it. You're going to fail for one reason. You will not fail because God. Well, he needed me to fail to teach me a lesson. You better kick that out of your thought life. God is not failure conscious. He's not fear conscious. A fear-free life is a failure-free life. Well, people just won't accept me, and they just don't pester the church. Look into my face. I find no fault in you. None of you. Jesus finds no fault in you. I'm not sitting around thinking about it, and neither is he. So tell him what you're like. The Bible says in Isaiah that God blotted out all your nasty stuff. And it said he left a whiteboard ready for you to write on. Now tell him what you want. I am his faithful daughter that I will do anything he wants me to do that is made clear to me. And that's what's on my whiteboard. It's quiet in here. Fresh start today. Get your whiteboard marker out and write on there what you want. I'm favored. I'm blessed. I know my commission. I know my purpose. I'm moving to the next step. By the way, Holy Spirit, what is it? What's the next step? It's usually going to be something you pray and say. No, you're going to walk out of here and go, well, that was a good word. Sure do hope favor happens to me. There's not much of a chance. But if you go out here guessing, you know, I'm favored and I'm going to steward this favor. And the next time that I see any barely crack of favor open to me, I'm going to praise God for it and give him the glory for it.
Amen.
That's why I was given the glory for this man that just showed us that much favor. Amen. I give the glory to the man who sold us this building. I give the glory to the people who paid it off. I give the glory to God. Through the ranks there. You see what I'm saying? I give God the glory. I give the God the glory for the people is what I'm trying to say. Amen. So favor's going to happen today. Say it again. She said, it's planned for me today. Well, you know what? It just hadn't been going my way, so I don't know if I can. I just don't know if, because, you know, I don't know if this is. You just want to make everybody have some hope. Yes. Are we gonna get the stuff done or not? Because it's gonna involve you being successful. It's going to involve you having some joy. Right. It's going to involve you knowing something about the Holy Spirit. Right. It's going to be involved that you can move through life and have some victories.
Yeah.
It doesn't mean there won't be any challenges. There'll be challenges, but again, you have favor.
Right.
You have favor. Praise the Lord. Every time. The cream rises to the top, church.
Always.
That's my theme.
Yeah.
I just made it a theme to go, whatever it is, I'm going to the top, whatever I'm involved in. Won't you just do that? Won't you just rise to the top? Won't you rise to the top in what you're thinking about? Won't you rise to the top in where you're working? Won't you rise to the top in your business? Won't you rise to the top in your rest?
Oh, that's good.
Won't you rise to the top and just trust? But you don't know, I'm at a crisis in my life. There's favor here to move you through it. And for goodness sake, stop saying, I don't know. I don't know, I don't know, I don't know, we don't know, we don't know what we're gonna do. We just don't know, I don't know, I don't know what my job is, I don't know, I don't know, I just don't know, I don't know. Well, that's why you don't know. David, do you know what your mission is in life? And you know why, don't you? Because you've said it. And, of course, we grew up in the same thing. So we would say, we learned to say, Lord, I'm keen to your guidance. I declare I know my mission. And then it came. Y'all get that? Praise the Lord. We're